Thank you, Keith, for the news. Good afternoon. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes at 12:04 on this Wednesday, the 16th of October. I'm Rich Bradbury. Today, I'm joined in the studio by
Jeff Sandu
and Frida Liu.
There's actually three of us in the studio.
Finally,
today.
Again,
nice,
yes.
Right?
Two sniffly boys.
Two sniffly boys and a smelly girl. Right. If you'd like to get in touch with our show this afternoon, 018-789-8899, of course, is the WhatsApp number. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Now, the question for today, should social media companies police the content on their platforms? I've been talking to Frida about this earlier on before we started BizBytes. It's kind of a topic we've danced around a little bit when Elon Musk was tweeting about the cave dive rescues not too long ago and said some things that perhaps he may have regretted or may not, but this is Elon Musk we're talking about. And this is because of what something that Twitter have said. They've published rules for world leaders, including what types of tweets won't be allowed. A discussion we'll be having a little bit later on. Then moving on to defining the world's best workplaces, a story that Frida has looked up. Finally, feeling hungry? Takeaway.
Yeah.
Always a food story at some point, Jeff. Always a food story. Right. Let's touch on this story from Twitter then. So they've revealed their moderation policies for world leaders in a blog post. The post from Twitter doesn't discuss the actions of any specific world leader, but the company said it wanted to better explain why it makes moderation decisions when reviewing controversial posts from political figures. Quote, "When it comes to the actions of world leaders on Twitter, we recognize that this is largely new ground and unprecedented. We understand that the desire for our decisions to be yes, no binaries, but it's not that simple. The actions we take and policies we develop will set precedent around online speech, and we owe it to the people we serve to be deliberate and considered in what we do." They said the following types of tweets will lead to enforcement, regardless of who is making the post. So here's a few of them. Promotion of terrorism, clear and direct threats of violence against an individual, context matters, as noted above, direct interactions with fellow public figures and or commentary on political and foreign policy issues would likely not result in enforcement. Posting private information, such as home address or non-public personal phone numbers. Posting or sharing intimate photos or videos of someone that were produced or distributed without their consent, engaging in behaviors relating to child sexual exploitation, encouraging or promoting self-harm. They reveal a new enforcement policy for politicians and other influential users in June that labels tweets that are in violation of the platform's policies instead of deleting them. However, that policy is only in place for Twitter accounts with 100,000 or more followers. So they've gone on to say their mission is to provide a forum that enables people to be informed and to engage their leaders directly. We know who they're talking about, don't we, right?
Yeah, so, like, you know, I guess, like, in some of the types of tweets that they've listed down when it comes to, you know, the main ones, it's an obvious one, right? So promoting of terrorism, that's, you know, a given fact. I think most social media companies also have some sort of similar areas where you cannot post, you cannot say things like this. And then, of course, like, posting private information such as home address and non-public personal phone numbers. This is, again, it's kind of like it's invasion of privacy to a certain extent. Posting and sharing of intimate photos or videos of someone that were produced or distributed without their consent, that's also a given fact. And then engaging in behaviors relating to child sexual exploitation and also encouraging or promoting self-harm, that's also another given fact. Where the gray area is really when it comes down to the clear and direct threat of violence against individuals, because they themselves say that the context here matters, right? As noted above, they say the direct interactions with fellow public figures and or commentary on political and foreign policy issues would likely not result in enforcement.
Right.
So, as with all tweets, context matters, right? So, one is kudos to them for coming out and stating it's not as easy as a yes, no.
Right.
Because that itself, you know, context matters. And two is for them to actually just come out and say that, you know, so this is why we make certain decisions and this is what we put forward of, you know, what we feel are the guidelines of a tweet that is responsible and also something that you will be carrying the weight of it, right? Kudos to them, but it's so grey in this that area.
You know, in the early part about all this, the self-harm, all those kind of things, right? When someone posts that, right? I mean, that's gives you a reason for action, right? If someone does that, of course, you don't remove. You're going to find out who that is, and the person should be, you know, punished for revealing this kind of information or inciting violence and that sort of thing. But you are saying it is a grey area. It is about the right of free speech. And, you know, where do you draw that line, right? And I am, you know, whatever the case may be, if you're going to go for free speech, it is about free speech, right? You know then what the person stands for. You know then what this person's all about, right?
Right.
And then for people who agree or like that kind of sentiment, you sort of probably use some AI and say, so where are they all located?
Right. I mean,
can we bomb that area? I mean, oh, there you go. Sorry, joke.
But I mean, if, for example, where it's talking about context, for example, you could have the leader of the United States tweeting something to the leader of Iran, you know, and they could be talking violence against one another, you know, and then where do you stand with that? Do you then, as Twitter, say, hey, you guys, you can't be doing this? I mean, not that they do use Twitter as a platform, but
they did.
Hypothetically, well, he did, yeah.
Yeah, and so did, and Korea, North Korea.
Right. But then on the other hand, you've got the people of Hong Kong, for example, tweeting about, you know, rising up against the Chinese government and one thing or another. Where then do you draw that line and say, okay, you people of Hong Kong shouldn't be saying this because that technically is inciting some kind of violence or civil disobedience. You know, again, it's that fine line between...
Because, you know, that was what we were all about, you know.
Free speech, right?
And you know, this is what happened during elections, you know, how we feel about certain things. So what is right and what is wrong?
Yeah.
Where also matters is also the algorithms. When we see some tweets first instead of, you know, other kind of tweets. So that for me is also a context where, you know, Twitter needs to come out and explain a little bit more. Because Twitter, when it first started, I loved it because it's timely, right? And it's based on the time factor itself. So if I were to post a tweet at, say, 10 a.m. and Richard at, you know, 10:30 a.m. and then Frida at 11 a.m., if I were to open Twitter, I would see the latest first and then go down, you know, so it's based on time. Mm. Now it's not really based on time anymore. Yeah. It's just based on sort of like, you know, what's trending.
And what they think you want to see.
And that, for me, is the issue itself. Because when you have that algorithm is basing on an assumption of what you may like or what you may think is interesting without actually knowing the context of it. So it could be a dangerous tweet or something that's malicious or something that you may disagree completely with that is being promoted in your face itself, right? So that for me is where I guess Twitter really needs to come. And not just Twitter, by the way, but like, you know, all social media companies do this, right?
Yeah.
They all have this algorithm where they think they know what you like or they think they know what you want. And then they put that out first. So Instagram as well is the same thing. Now you see on Instagram, I miss out some of my, you know, closest friends' posts simply because Instagram thinks that I'm not close to them. And I'm like, well, really?
Right, yeah, agreed. Right, we're going to take a short break, folks. But of course, this doesn't just apply to Twitter. We're talking about all social media platforms. Facebook, of course, Instagram, Snapchat, all of them. Any that you might or might not use. Question, should social media companies police the content on their platforms? Let us know, 01878988899 on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We are going to take a short break with some music from Badly Drawn Boy. Once Around the Block here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Banish feudal mentality. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Jeff Sandu.
Frida Liu.
Today we're asking you, should social media companies police the content on their platforms? We've asked you guys for some feedback. This is because Twitter have published its rules for world leaders, including what types of tweets won't be allowed. There's quite a long list. Promotion of terrorism, clear and direct threats of violence against an individual, posting private information, posting or sharing intimate photos, engaging in behaviours relating to child sexual exploitation, encouraging or promoting self-harm. One of the things we discussed there is about how context is important and...
Yeah, so on Twitter, we have a reply by Mizanabila. It says that as of all tweets, context matters. I definitely agree. Mm. So yeah, context is critical because Twitter is really much like a it's more focused on text than say Facebook with video, Instagram with photo. Twitter is really much about the words and how, you know, you craft a few words into a sentence, and there's a limit as well, right? So, you know, in that sense though, how you phrase certain things, how you say certain things, really does matter, and you can't just put a blanket rule if, you know, you say these few words, you know, straight out block you and ban you. That's just not going to work.
You don't know the tone that it was said in, right? Unless you attach an emoticon to it.
I've got a couple of responses over here on Insta Story. The Real Madrid has said, only to ensure that harmful content isn't spread, for example, self-harm, racism, animal and child abuse. But then comes the question of, what if it's to spread awareness of these topics?
Right.
Unmish Kumar has said, of course, stating their sources is a must to ensure it's from a reliable source and not fake news. Conra has said there are already people regulating videos that are shown on FB and YouTube. Mm. That's very true, especially in response to what happened in New Zealand earlier this year as well. Chris Aru has said no. Freedom of speech or content, we are not kids anymore. And finally, Philip Yong has said yes, especially to those bogus and scammers.
I've got one from Eugene saying here. It says, a great initiative from Twitter. However, I'm all for free speech. Who's to be the judge of what's right or wrong? Of course, we should always punish those who promote real offensive posts like sexual violence, terrorism, etc. But what about viewpoints? Some stand with the protest, some don't. Some say rendang is crispy. We disagree. So I suggest understanding the intentions and views of said poster, and we should stop being offended by everything. So yeah, the context really, really matters.
So at the end of the day, I really don't think they should police the type of content on their platform, because they are a money-making machine. So, you know, at the end of the day, the only thing that's on their mind is to how to make more profit. How do we make more money? That applies to like all social media platforms, unless, you know, comes to a day where, you know, me and Matt Armitage always talk about this, that if you really want a social media that you can trust and something, you know, a platform that you know will not abuse the trust that you've given in terms of the data that you have provided them with, you have to pay for it. So are you willing to sort of like, you know, subscribe if Twitter were to come out with like a paid subscription, or Facebook were to come out with a paid subscription? Are you willing to pay for that? No, we're not, because we've so used to the idea of doing this. So for us to then think that, oh, you know what, Twitter should be, you know, for some quarters, right, Twitter should police this and they should do that and should do this. In terms of the basics of, like, you know, promoting terrorism and you know, making sure that, you know, anyone who engages in behaviors to, like, child sexual exploitation, those are, like, the given fact of humanity itself, right? So anything beyond the areas of that would cover, that's risky and probably has more context, that's where, I guess, you know, it really shouldn't be policed. You know, it the basic facts, as a human race, we know what's right, what's wrong on the surface level.
Completely agree.
So those kind of things, they should just come out as like, this is a flat-out ban. How they're doing this is also, I guess, you know, a different question, right? Because Twitter's safety account said that the offending tweets will be marked with a new warning label now. So it's basically making it impossible to reply, to share, or even to retweet that tweet in question. So that's like the first step itself. So, you know, still allowing someone to say, because that is, you know, your opinion and that is your voice, but then it is restricted for it going viral to different places and people, you know, retweeting it, whether not knowing the context or not, right? So that's like probably for me like the first step towards it.
Bobby Wong sent this picture and said, you must read this book, Scare the Hell Out of Me. And this is The Age of Surveillance Capitalism, written by Shoshana Zuboff. He's subtitled The Fight for a Human Future at the New Frontier Power. So I don't know, have a read that one. But you know, okay, here's the thing again, right? When you talk about protests, right? When you look at where terrorism started off, right? It was probably a protest or something. And then it spiraled to become, this is what I believe in. And then it's spiraled to that. So what some protests then end off becoming, believing certain things, and it gets violent, right? Then do you quantify that as terrorism, right? Yeah. So what's happening in Hong Kong, right? It could just get further, and then, you know, a small group of people believe it, and then they resort. So where do you draw that line as well, right?
Okay, yeah, and that obviously caused a problem for Twitter not too long ago when you were looking at some of the tweets that were coming out from ISIS supporters.
Right. Arab Spring.
Or the Arab Spring, right. Exactly. Mm. I mean, you look at the Arab Spring, and depending on which side of the fence
the butterfly
you
effect.
Are, you're either for terrorism or you're not for terrorism, or you're for people having autonomy, or you're not, you know, and it's a very fine line. Mm-hmm. Again, it's context, you know, and it's, I'm all for freedom of speech, but like, you know, you've said, Jeff, there are certain things on that list that, you know, are just appalling, and they are just abhorrent to human behaviour, and they shouldn't be there anyway. Yeah. And those are things that immediately should be policed, removed, and I agree with that. Mm. But there are also things like stuff for the Hong Kong thing that you're talking about, Frieda, which I believe should be there, and people should see that as part of the bigger global context as to what's happening in Hong Kong.
Mm. Look, for the simple fact is that, like, if, let's say, you know, any of the social media companies go harder in terms of policing their content, right? So what's going to happen is that people will stay away from
They'll stay away, yeah.
And then when you stay away, you lose the users, you lose that interaction, and then what happens, you lose profit as well. So the companies are at very sticky situations when it comes to social media, because now, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, in December, we're going to do like decade in review shows and stuff, right? And one of the areas is how, you know, in 2010, the promise of, you know, all the social media platforms that was rising is the fact that it will keep us closer, with our family and friends closer. It keeps us connected. But if you look at the years, and especially in this year, it's actually driven many people apart. It's not connected, you know, our family and friends closer. It's kind of separated us in the sense that I know about certain things that maybe some of my family and my friends have shared that I don't agree with, and then you get engaged in a feud war, in like a keyboard war, right? And then you realize that is that really something that I want, though? So if they're not careful, they will drive people away, and when they drive people away, they'll drive their profits away, and that's not what they want, because at the end of the day, they're a money making machine.
Just got a message over on Insta Story. A new follower, Ehon, has said, it all comes down to the intention of the policing and the context. For more peace, yes. Yeah. Do we consider social media as media? If so, we definitely need some restrictions. Shout out to Frieda and Jeff.
Hi, Ehon.
No shout out to Rich,
I was just thinking the same thing, right?
He doesn't know you.
I can block him on our social media.
Are you back in Malaysia, Ehon?
Time for a break. Music coming up from INXS, The Loved One. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, moving on to story number two, defining the world's best workplaces. But of course, we are continuing this conversation throughout the show. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram at BFM Radio. The question, should social media companies police the content on their platforms? We'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.